This is Main Street on Prairie Public. The calendar might say it's May 2nd. The temperature certainly doesn't suggest that. But if you watch TV, you probably have seen a preview or two of coming attractions. The summer blockbuster season is approaching, and we've got lots of movies to talk about with our resident film reviewer, Matt O'Lean. He joins us, as usual, but a little earlier, usually on Friday. Matt, good to have you with
us. Good to be here.
Also, Brittany Goodman, Dean of Instructional Resources at Minnesota State Moorhead and a film lover herself.
Hi, Doug.
Okay.
Part of Film Festival, co-chair. Yes.
There you go. Please add whatever we need to fill out the story here. And Tony Tilton, he directs the broadcast of Valley News Live. He's also the manager for Moorhead Community Access TV. Thank you, Tony.
Thanks, Doug.
Well, let's jump into May. I've seen the previews, and I watched the trailer today, and lots of slam bang, and a very well-known actor who's got his own, I guess, iconic role now, and that's Robert Downey Jr. 3.
He's got several iconic roles. Sherlock Holmes as well, and that franchise continues. He's as hot as anybody is right now. One of the great comeback stories, I think, in Hollywood history, and I think this film's going to be huge. What do you guys think, Tony and Brittany? I can't miss, can it?
No.
I think it's going to be great.
It's getting good buzz now.
Yeah, it's getting great reviews. Overseas, it's been playing already. It's already beaten Avengers for its box office at this point in time when it was released. So it's going to be probably one of the top movies of the year.
So you're all going to Iron Man 3,
I'm going tonight, actually.
Okay.
Right. I'll go Saturday.
Well,
I'm curious,
week.
Too, from a non-Britney, you're more a little bit more like me, more into the dramatic stuff, less special effects, although I go to them as well. But there's a crossover I think Downey has, doesn't he, that appeals to – tell me your thoughts on that.
I don't normally go for superhero movies for the most part, except for the Batman franchise. But Robert Downey Jr. is just – he's red hot, and he is smart. The script is good. It's well filmed. You know, I really like the Iron Man franchise.
And who's the bad guy this time around?
The Mandarin with Ben Kingsley.
Ben Kingsley.
All right. Well, let's listen to just a little bit between Tony and Ben.
Here's a little holiday greeting I've been wanting to send to the Mandarin. I just didn't know how to phrase it until now. My name is Tony Stark, and I'm not afraid of you. I know you're a coward. So I've decided that you just died, pal. I'm going to come get the body. There's no politics here. It's just good old-fashioned revenge.
Good old-fashioned revenge, and I guess we like it in our summer blockbusters. Let's move on to the next movie. Love is All You Need, Matt.
Suzanne Bier, terrific director in A Better World, After the Wedding, Denmark, right, Brittany?
Yeah.
Oscar winner.
Yeah.
You love her. I love her as well. She's going in a little different direction here. Do you want to talk about Pierce Brosnan's in this?
Well, it sort of looks like a rom-com,
yes.
Sort of almost like a Under the Tuscan Sun. This Danish actress, Trine Dernholm, plays a hairdresser who has cancer. And then she finds out her husband has an affair and decides to go to Italy and apparently meets cute with, I think it's Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to it. I have faith in Suzanne Bier.
Yeah, I do too. She's so good at directing actors. The dialogue is as exciting as any special effects when she directs, don't you think?
Oh, she does the relationships between men and women, father, sons, mother, daughter. I mean, just human relationships. Fantastic.
Well, Brosnan drew from his own personal experiences with his first wife dying of cancer to do this role. So there's a little more to this than just a rom-com. I think there's a little more of an undercurrent.
I think it's going to be more than, right. I think we can expect more probably. So I'm looking forward to that one as well.
Well, there certainly is a lot more than just the title with the next one. What Maisie Knew is a Henry James adaptation, and this is about marriages gone bad and the kid in the middle.
Julianne Moore, yeah. Brittany, do you want to comment on this one?
Well, you know, as somebody that's got a master's in English, not a big deal, but, you know, I read What Maisie Knew a long time ago, and it was considered very scandalous at the time when Henry James wrote it. Because you didn't talk about divorce and affairs and that type of thing. But, of course, these days it's kind of par for the course. The interesting thing about this movie, I think, is the young actress, Onata April. There's a lot of talk about her. In the clips that I've seen, she She just looks not just cute, but looks like she's got very expressive face. And I've got – it's on my list of one of the films I really want to see.
Yeah, that'll be a nice under-the-radar one for people that that like films like that. I'm definitely looking forward to that one May 3rd as well. But that probably means it won't be in the Fargo area May 3rd.
I doubt it. Probably doubt a couple weeks, if not a month or two. Yeah.
Well, we know this one is coming. It's coming everywhere, and it's coming quickly. Gatsby, The Great Gatsby, the F. Scott Fitzgerald classic novel, comes to the screen for the third time.
Third time. Alan Ladd played the part in 1947. Robert Redford famously in 74. A film version I don't think is as bad as people make it out. This, of all the films this summer, Tony and Brittany, I think this has the biggest question mark on it. It looks like hip-hop version of the 20s with Baz Luhrmann's frenetic editing style. Our buddy Tom Brandau has already buried it.
He's got a hip-hop soundtrack under it.
Tom is not looking forward to this. I think this could be a home run or a disaster, and I'm just not sure until we see it. What do you think, Tony?
Well,
why don't you start?
For those who don't know who we're talking about, if you think Moulin Rouge, that's the same filmmaker.
Love.
And so the frenetic energy, that stuff will be interesting to watch. If you're a devotee of Gatsby of the book, you may be disappointed in this film.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of the dialogue. And this is Tobey Maguire, who plays the writer. Is that correct?
Nick Carraway. Yep.
And he's talking about Daisy.
It's a strange coincidence.
What is?
The fact that Gatsby's house is just across the bay.
It's not coincidence. He bought that house to be near her. He threw all those parties hoping she'd wander in one night. He constantly asked about Daisy. I was just the first person that knew her.
All that for a girl he hasn't seen in 5 years. And now he just wants me to invite her over to tea.
Producer Skip Wood just reminded me that Jay-Z and Kanye West are contributing to the music track of this movie.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's accurate to the 20s feel, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
Brittany, what do your instincts tell you about this film? Because I just can't get a finger on this. I don't like Tobey Maguire as Nick Carraway, but we'll see.
I'm not sure about Tobey Maguire, but I love Carey Mulligan in anything
she's
ever
Daisy.
Done.
Yep.
And she's Daisy, and I'm a DiCaprio fan, and I think he looks right.
He's just finally old enough to carry this kind of role. Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking that myself. He does look right.
This was supposed to be released in December. The only concern some people have is that it was delayed from Oscar season. So why was it delayed? There's usually a reason. Maybe they saw the first cut, didn't like it. I don't know. And we're not going to know that until we see it. Tony, what does that mean sometimes when you get
a lot of times the story isn't working. The studio doesn't like the cut of it and it doesn't test well. That's the main reason. This could also have just been a technical issue because this film, like every other blockbuster out there, is heavy in special effects, which – you won't notice, but it's all in replacement of backgrounds and things like that.
And it's 3D.
Right, and it's in 3D. So, I mean, it could be as simple as just a backlog on that they decided to pull up. But frankly, I think it had something to do with the testing of the film.
Well, let's go to an area that Tony likes, which is Star Trek Into
I'm a
Darkness.
Huge Star Trek
okay.
fan. And this has gotten great reviews already, I got to say that already.
And?
Well, let's see. It's the sequel to the J.J. Abrams reboot of the Star Trek franchise from a couple years ago. Same crew. Some apocalyptic events are happening with Benedict Cumberbatch. If you don't know who he is, he's Sherlock on the BBC.
He's great, actually.
He's a fantastic actor, yeah. It looks great, and it's gotten really good reviews, and there's a lot of buzz about some of the secrets in this film that we won't give away any here. I know them already, but I won't tell you what they are.
Well, I have to tell you, I go back to the original TV Star Trek.
Exactly.
I like Chris Pine.
I do, too. I think they did a great job of re-envisioning the original show.
Okay.
You think it's going to be a hit, Tony?
Oh, yeah. By far.
Not Avengers-type dollars, but
no, it's going to be very. It's going to be way up there, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Avengers is $1 billion.
I know. It's the third biggest film of all time.
This one's going to be like $700 or $800 million worldwide, so it's going to be up there.
Well, I heard that when the next movie that we're going to talk about was number two, it made $600 million. So obviously they were planning on making some more with Hangover 3.
Hangover 3.
Okay, who wants to go to this one?
I'm not looking forward to this.
I was really underwhelmed with the second one.
Yeah.
And I liked the first one a lot. It was just one of those fun afternoon things I didn't even think about. But we'll see. I'll go to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, this might be what I call a three-drink minimum movie.
Well, I was always thinking it's almost like they get the Jackass crew in there to think about what are we going to do to these people?
Pretty much. Yeah. And if it's the same thing over and over again, it's going to be very tedious. I hope they can do something different.
Brittany, I think this was a film, the first film, that was an unexpected hit, and all of a sudden the sequels get forced on it, and they're not supposed to be sequels. What do you think?
I think that happens all the time. All the time. I just wish more movies would just stop at the first one.
Yeah.
The first one was great. Let's just let it set there.
The second one also really, really went right up to the line of good taste. I mean, I can watch anything.
But, you know, it was to me, that's not a problem. That's exactly what they were selling.
Well, there were
so
little
boy
jokes. And
yeah, if you know that that's what they're selling, that's fine. But this is, yeah, it's.
Yeah. I hope there's no Bridesmaids, too.
There is.
Well,
going to
I
be
believe there will be.
I
would count on it.
How about Before Midnight? That's coming out in late May as well.
I'll talk about this one because I really like Richard Linklater. First got introduced to him with a lot of people with Slacker and then Dazed and Confused. And this is the third in a trilogy, Before Sunrise and then Before Sunset. So now we have Before Midnight. The same two actors that fell in love in the first one, Julie Delpy and Ethan Hawke.
Mm-hmm. What an interesting process that is for the filmmakers.
And she directs them.
Yeah.
Well, she co-wrote it too.
Right.
And you know, these movies they're dialogue heavy, but it's very dependent upon the script and it's very dependent upon the chemistry between these two people, and they have got it. Mm-hmm. So I think they can pull it off again.
Let's listen to a little sample.
If we're meeting for the first time today on a train, would you find me attractive?
Of course.
No, but really right now as I am, would you start talking to me? Would you ask me to get off the train with you?
Well, I mean, you're asking a theoretical question. I mean, what would my life situation be? I mean, technically, wouldn't I be cheating on you?
Okay, why can't you just say
no,
yes?
No, I did. I said, of course.
I wanted you to say something romantic and you blew it,
okay? Okay, okay. All right, wait. If I saw you on a train, okay, listen, I would lock eyes with you.
Uh-huh.
And I'd walk right up to you and I'd say, hey, baby, you are making me as horny as a billy goat in a
pepper patch. Stop it. That's disgusting. Billy goat? No, the truth is, okay, you failed the test. And the fact is, you would not pick me up on a train. You would not even notice me, a fat-ass middle-aged mom losing her hair.
Okay.
You know, that's pretty real dialogue.
It's going to be good. I like these movies a lot. That's May 24th.
Okay. Let's move now to Now You See Me. This has got magic.
Jesse Eisenberg, right, is in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, this is a heist, Brittany, right? Heist, magic, Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, they're a group of illusionists that somehow steal money from banks and give them to people during their shows. And you got the FBI trying to figure out how they're doing it.
Well, and Jesse Eisenberg, he's sort of the flavor of the year. I mean, he's doing pretty well.
He's pretty hot. Tends to play the same character over and over.
Yeah.
But a version of Mark Zuckerberg, I guess.
He certainly looks like him.
We'll see about that one. I know Brittany's also interested in The East, which is May 31st. What's that one about?
Well, I just saw the clip to that today, and it's, again, Alexander Skarsgård. He seems to be the flavor of the moment. Ellen Page, Patricia Clarkson, and kind of a newcomer, Britt Marling. And she plays an intelligence operative who is recruited to infiltrate an anarchist terrorist organization who targets corporations.
It's very intriguing. The trailer actually was less slam-bam than some others. There's plenty of action in it, but there's obviously a message in this movie, too.
I want to ask Tony, too, because you're into animation. Epic, May 24th.
Well, that's
what company's behind this one? I know they're really promoting this heavily.
I believe it's DreamWorks, right?
I think it is, yeah.
It's the new big one. And, that's going to be one of the big animated things for the year. Actually, for the summer, I don't think there's another Turbo later on, but that's really the main
film coming out. And Despicable Me, too.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And Monsters University.
Right. But this one hits in May, and it's going to be big because a lot of these films, some of them are kid-appropriate, but frankly, even like Star Trek, I think that's a PG-13 film. And for the younger kids, there's not much to go to. So that by itself, it's going to be a huge hit.
Yeah.
Well, I saw the trailer. The animation was gorgeous.
Right. Yep. It's basically it's kind of like an Avatar, but with in the real world, except they're like miniature creatures in your lawn and things like that.
And before we move on to June, Doug, can I mention there's an interesting documentary called We Steal Secrets that could be at the Fargo Theater. It's about the WikiLeaks controversy. So keep your eye out for that if you like docs.
Julian Assange story, that which continues. This is really ripped from the headlines. Yep. We'll be back with our movie reviewers and a look at the summer blockbuster season in a moment.
Support for this program is provided by the North Dakota Education Association, an organization of 8,000 school employees working to ensure great public schools for every child.
Tonight's television lineup on Prairie Public starts with the This Old House Hour, then at 8 Central, Doc Martin, and at 9, Dirk Gently. Tune in tonight on Prairie Public.
Well, here we are going to the movies. This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton, joined by Tony Tilton and Brittany Goodman and Matt Olean. You know Matt very well. He's here every Friday. But now he's here on a Thursday because we're talking about all these movies that are coming out this summer. In the background, of course, the iconic theme from Superman, the series of movies that John Williams created that wonderful theme song for. And we're just talking about the next version of it. It's called Man of Steel. Right. That's a little further into June.
June 14th.
But apparently they don't use John Williams.
Huh? Well, they said that they don't, at least that but they may be using it, who knows, at some point in the film, but not as the main theme of the film.
I'll be listening for it. I bet I hear it. At any rate, let's go to the 7th of June when After Earth is released. Tony, what are you thinking?
Well, After Earth, it's interesting. There's some of these, you know, there was this earlier film this year, Oblivion with Tom Cruise, that has a similar idea of Earth has been decimated and people are coming back after this has occurred. And this is Will Smith and his son starring in this film. And I think it's thousands of years after something's destroyed the planet. And they're coming back to a very different world basically an alien world to them, but that they have to contend with. And it's also a drama of them just surviving.
So lots of special
effects. Lots of
action.
I'm a little Will Smithed out on the summer. You know, I don't know. It's like how much more can he go to the well with his son along
well,
as well?
Exactly.
Interesting how his son
that.
Gets those parts. You know,
right.
Not sure how that works, but actually I do.
Well, here we've got a goofy one, though, that comes up the same week. It's released the 7th of June. And this one with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson. And they're kind of, going over some familiar territory, too. But at least they're doing it at Google.
Yeah, they got to shoot at Google, I believe, didn't they, guys? Yeah,
it sure looks like it.
With those two in it, I think it's going to make money, don't you think?
I like them, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're good together. Yeah.
And the trailer that I saw for it was pretty funny. Just these guys were they're completely out of place in this corporate environment and trying to be interns at their ages and with their lack of
experience.
I think it'll do well.
Speaking of chemistry, combinations of people that'll probably do pretty well. This is the end with Seth Rogen and Jim Franco. I mean, the trailer for this
the
is out of this world.
It kind of had me. It had me with James Franco. That's all they needed, really.
He was great in Spring Breakers, right?
Yeah.
But he was. He was.
Share the premise of this movie. It had to be the best elevator speech ever.
All these people are playing themselves. Jonah Hill, Jay Baruchel, Seth Rogen, James Franco, and I can't even name all of them. And they're attending a party at Franco's house, and basically the apocalypse happens.
Yes, and we do mean that. Yeah. The ground opened up and all kinds of strange stuff happens. So this is the end. That's on the 12th. Then 14th, the music. Superman, Man of Steel. This is sort of the reset.
This has actually gotten they did a preliminary sneak for industry people about a month ago, and people were very, very high on this film. Mm-hmm. They said some of it's called it the movie of the year, actually.
Wow.
I think it could be huge. Yeah.
This will be a huge, huge movie. It's directed by Zack Snyder, did Watchmen at 300. And he certainly knows how to do a superhero film. But Christopher Nolan, who did the Batman franchise, is the one who produced this. Mm-hmm. And the script has been elevated to much more of I can't say realistic, but the idea is that how would you really react to this guy appearing, this alien from another world? And that's part of the the premise of the film.
It almost has some quasi-religious notes to it.
Well, Superman always has had that, actually. Yeah. And but the cast is fantastic. You've got Michael Shannon playing the villain in this film, who's from Boardwalk Empire, and a fantastic actor.
Take Shelter, right.
Yeah, and then you've got Russell Crowe playing his father, playing Superman's dad.
And who's Superman?
And Superman's Henry Cavill, from if you know him from The Tudors. And he's probably the guy who looks most like Superman out of all the actors that have ever played Superman before, if you look at him. But you also got Kevin Costner and Diane Lane playing his parents on Earth. I mean, they just got a fantastic cast. Lawrence Fishburne is playing Perry White, actually. little change in the
casting. I think it could be one of the big hits of the summer.
I think
I was kind of wondering when I heard about it, does Superman still have legs? But I think Tony's right. I've heard that the people who have seen what they can see right now say it's good.
Okay. So let's move on to something that is decidedly different, the Bling Ring. Matt, what's this about?
Well, I'm going to let Brittany take this one because I know she wanted to talk about Sofia Coppola directing one, who's kind of, you know, thrown the Godfather 3 disaster of her acting career on the floor, and now she's a director and a writer.
She's a much better director and a writer. Well, she kind of had me with Virgin Suicides. I think that's a brilliant film. And then I think many people have seen Lost in Translation. Then she did this film a couple of years back called Somewhere that I don't know who saw it.
I think 10 people, including you and I, saw it.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
I thought you went with me, no?
No, I didn't go.
I saw it with somebody. It was like two people in the Fargo Theater.
But The Bling Ring looks like nothing she's ever done. It sort of seems like it's Clueless meets Heathers meets Spring Breakers.
Yeah, well, it's based on a true story too.
These young women use the internet to track celebrities' whereabouts, and then they go rob their homes for their bling.
Oh, that's right. I have seen a little piece on this. Yeah.
Right. And the thing is, they also have this idea that they're all going to become celebrities from this. So it's kind of an indictment of the celebrity culture in a way.
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking forward to it, and it's got Emma Watson.
Yep. Right. Hermione.
I think she's going to be fairly big, I think, of the three of the Potter people.
Well, let's go to something completely different again, because World War Z is where you get to see people become rivers of people. It's unbelievable, the special effects in the trailer.
Well, they don't say it in the description, but it is a zombie film. It's a zombie apocalypse film. And the graphic novel it's based on is a very bleak book. And it's told from the standpoint of thinking back of when this occurred. So the movie's very different in that respect, where it's about the zombie apocalypse. Since Brad Pitt brought in, they've had major – there's been a lot of talk about the problems with this film because they've done major reshoots on this film, as well as just recently a good friend of mine has worked on the crew on this and told me about it. And they've redone the endings and they're retesting it. So this is one of those few films this year that has a big question mark on how it's going to
I agree with Tony. I think this one is could be one of the messes of the summer if we're going to predict those later. I think this one has that written all over it.
So Brad is maybe a little nervous right now.
Well, he's going to be fine. He's not going to be at the poorhouse. But I just think critically and commercially, this one could have some problems from what Tony's
saying. They've done really good drama on television with Walking Dead with the same subject matter. So doing it in a two-hour film format, you're kind of cheating the drama part of it. You have to put a lot of spectacle to make it work. So I don't know how that's going to necessarily work.
Just got a few seconds left here. We want to close out the month of June with The Heat. And when Melissa McCarthy comes on screen, I start laughing. So
the trailer is hilarious for that film.
Oh, I'm definitely going to go see that one. Sandra Bullock and McCarthy. Oh, yeah.
If you're on the internet, go to get the Red Band trailer, which is the one that's not edited for language and content. And it's really funny. It's a very R-rated film, but it'll be hilarious.
It's the FBI meets a cop. Yep. Bullock is the
FBI. It's a buddy cop movie with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy is, she's striking right now. She's striking when it's hot because I think stardom is right there for her possibly.
All right. Well, we'll be back with our movie reviewers in just a moment, but now it's time for the news.
For Prairie Public, I'm Danielle Webster. After numerous delays and setbacks, Senator John Hoeven says some movement is expected soon on developing a new farm bill.
What we've done is we've taken the bill we wrote last year, and then informally, we've kind of worked around some of the changes we're going to make to use it as a starting point. And then either a week from today, next Thursday, or the following Tuesday, we'll be in the Ag Committee and we'll mark up that bill. And we hope to be to the floor of the Senate. Have the full Senate voting on this bill in May. That's our target.
Hovind says there will be some modifications over last year's bill, but if everything falls into place, there could be $23 billion in savings with the new multi-year bill. Representative Kevin Kramer says he has been told May 15th is the date a bill will be passed out of the House Ag Committee.
The House bill will probably look more like last year's House bill than the Senate bill will look like last year's Senate bill.
Yeah.
It's got the momentum. It's got a lot of the same players. You know, I think there's a sense of confidence, and we ought to feel that sense of confidence going into it. I'm still a freshman, so I'm eternally optimistic, but I don't see any reason not to be at this point.
Kramer says not only will the bill be moving, it will also meet sequestration guidelines. Supporters call it landmark legislation. A bill to send more than $1.1 billion to North Dakota's oil patch is on its way to Governor Dalrymple. The money is to be used for fixing roads and other infrastructure needs, as well as law enforcement and emergency medical services. Crosby Senator John Andrist thanked his colleagues for what he called a sensitivity to the needs in the West.
A boom is a mixed blessing. There are a few people, as in every boom, that really do well, that get rich, communities grow. But there are all kinds of people that get left behind. High rents with no additional income, dusty, dirty, broken roads, and hospitals that are threatened with closure.
Writer Senator John Warner agreed.
It's my hope, and I think the hope of everyone in this room, that for once we will finally get around the issue. We will be able to get our hands around the issue, and we will stop being reactive to everything and start being more proactive. That we'll be able to get ahead of the cascading collapse of our Western infrastructure to stabilize our communities. And finally, after this long slog, to begin a systematic rollout of the future that we want for our beautiful state.
Other supporters say it won't meet all the needs in the West and say it's a work in progress. And officials with the USDA's Risk Management Agency had a chance to meet with commodity groups and crop insurance providers today in North Dakota. Senator John Hovind brought the officials to the state for roundtable discussions in Fargo and Bismarck, with a focus on how the RMA manages the crop insurance and prevented planting programs.
There's some confusion and some questions we want these guys to address. You know, we worked real hard to get that 1-in-4-year rule, and now they've got some other requirements. And I want them to talk to our producers and explain that and hopefully not only get an understanding of how it works, but make sure it's something that's workable, you know, for our farmers.
Speaking to RMA officials, Hovind pointed to the prevented planting program and how the agency revised its language with a list of conditions and at the same time raised a lot of questions about how the program actually works.
There's no way for either the producer or even the folks out there writing the insurance to know then what you're going to do, guys. And that's where we really have to drill in on this. And it really comes down to number six. I mean, you can throw the rest out in my book and say, but when you say any other condition as determined by RMA that may not be normal, wow, you've just opened up the world.
Hovind is hoping the discussions will lead to solutions and clarity in the language of the programs. For Prairie Public, I'm Danielle Webster.
My name is General Zod. For some time, your world has sheltered one of my citizens. I request that you return this individual to my custody. To Kal-El, I say this. Surrender within 24 hours, or watch this world suffer the consequences.
Time for Superman. Okay, that's a clip from The Man of Steel, which is coming out in the middle of June. But now we're into July. The Lone Ranger comes out on the 3rd of July.
I am not looking forward to this.
Johnny Depp is Tonto.
I know my son wants to go. And
the Pirates of the Caribbean guys, the same crew is doing this film. And they had a lot of budget issues when they first started. Mm-hmm. They got it going because they trimmed the budget back. But I don't know. Johnny Depp, you know, for a lot of people, can do no wrong. And
I would like to see him, though. I've said on my radio review, I'd like to see Johnny get back to, you know, Donnie Brasco and some of the stuff he did, play something resembling a human being again. I mean, we had Dark Shadows, which was a disaster, I thought. The Get Up as Tonto is just, you know, he looks like he thought it up in his trailer one day and thought, oh, this is what.
It's actually based on a famous painting, but it's not accurate to any real. No, it's costume just, of a Native American.
The Willy Wonka performance. I think Johnny's very talented, but I think his eccentricities are starting to get the better of him. And he, if he's not careful, I could see him going down the Marlon Brando road where, you know, are you really playing anything based on reality anymore, or are you just having fun? And that's my concern with this role. But I'm sure it's a popcorn film, so it'll probably do okay.
Well, this one will do great with kids. Despicable yes. 2. Mm-hmm. It's a Despicable Me 2, I should say. And another animated
yep, Steve more Carell. Minions
big
and
deal.
Stuff, yep. Same
and Steve Carell's got a big month, Doug, because he's got the Way, Way Back July 5th. This was a big hit at Sundance. And Tony was telling me he plays the bad guy in this mm-hmm. one. Instead of meat, they're describing it as Meatballs meets Ordinary People, right. if you can believe that.
It's kind of like a throwback Rockwell's to Little Miss Sunshine kind of thing of these coming-of-age movies.
Yeah.
Tony Collette.
Tony Collette's in it, right? I think we're looking forward to that one, Brittany. I'd like to see that one when it comes.
Well, let's go to Pacific Rim. This mm-hmm. is another one of those lots of special effects movies.
Go ahead.
Well, again, I don't normally go for this kind of movie, but this is directed by Guillermo del Toro from Pan's Labyrinth yeah. and Hellboy. Mm-hmm. So that makes me want to see it. But I saw the trailer and, wow, it sort of looks like Cloverfield meets Iron Man meets Transformers.
Yeah, a Transformers thing jumped out at me when I saw the trailer.
It's kind of based on like Japanese anime type stuff of people and giant robots fighting giant creatures. And so, I mean, it's kind of tough to – but there's some really good – Idris Elba stars in this film. He's a great British actor. And Guillermo del Toro, I mean, frankly, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and see whatever he's going to do.
Well, the old ideas often work. Godzilla versus Megadron.
Exactly.
I think I'll get my girlfriends to go because it's got Charlie Hunnam who plays Jax on Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Well, now let's go to Girl Most Likely, Kirsten Wiig and Annette Bening. That's on the 19th of July.
Yeah, she's Kirsten Wiig again. You talk about striking hot. She's as hot as anybody is right now. Very funny person. Teaming up with Annette Bening here. And looking forward to this one as well. I don't know. It's kind of a I'm not sure if it's quite a rom-com, but it'll certainly probably have some of that bridesmaids humor, I would guess. Brittany, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't know much about this one, except it's got Kirsten Wiig and Annette Bening.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there you go. That's a good combination.
That sells tickets.
And, you know, what's interesting about this film, though, I will say this. We'll see if Kirsten Wiig can sell tickets on her name. Hmm. I mean, I think Bridesmaids was a hit because it was word of mouth.
Right.
Oh, you've got to see this. It is so funny. A lot of people didn't know who Melissa McCarthy was. They knew Kirsten Wiig from Saturday Night Live and Maya Rudolph. I'm not sure that film made it kind of like Hangover. Hangover wasn't a hit because of Bradley Cooper. It was an ensemble comedy.
Right.
Now we're going to see if Kirsten Wiig can sell tickets on her own. I think that's maybe the question here.
Well, and it comes out on a pretty tough weekend. Turbo is out that same weekend, the animated film. Animated, and then you've got like five other pretty good films coming out. Only God Forgives with Ryan Gosling, Red 2, R.I.P.D., big action, sci-fi, you know, thriller guy, comedy thriller. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it does. But I think that's the only real comedy out that weekend.
Yeah.
But only God Forgives. Brittany, Ryan Gosling.
Only God Forgives. I feel like I'm just talking about men. But it is Ryan Gosling, and it's with the director of Drive. Yeah. Again, a great team, and it looks stylish and dark and violent.
It's a thriller set in Thailand, I think.
Yeah, right? And Kristen Scott Thomas plays his mother. And the plot is he's a drug dealer and a drug smuggler in Thailand, Ryan Gosling's character is. And his mom tells him that he needs to find and kill whoever's responsible for his brother's recent death.
Wow.
And she's blonde and she looks tough.
She's a terrific actress. She does so many good things.
You love her. I know you do.
I do, yes.
Well, Wolverine opens the 26th, Tony.
This has got some good buzz after the last one that was X-Men Origins Wolverine. That was horribly made. Everybody hated that one. This is a turnaround. James Mangold did this film, which is interesting. It's got
He directed 3:10 to Yuma, didn't he, Tony?
Yeah. And it's got a really good, interesting story about in his travels, if you know the character, he can't really die. And so he's been around for hundreds of years. And it tells the story of him in Japan where he's basically a samurai if you remember the
– So that's
Ronin,
where the nails came from.
Right. Well, actually, that's later on. But, I mean, it tells his story about it. And it's very – it was all done in Japan. And there's some pretty – exciting sequences. The trailer's excellent, and it's got, and the advanced reviews on it are really good. So it'll be interesting to see how this one does.
There probably aren't any special effects in Blue Jasmine.
This is Woody Allen again, and he's again shooting over in Europe. Paris, I believe, Brittany, is where this one is taking place. Cate Blanchett, Alec Baldwin. He used Alec Baldwin last year in To Rome with Love. You know, with Woody, you just don't know. Midnight in Paris was so good.
Oh, it
and
sure
then he
was.
Goes to Rome, and I felt there were two stories too many there, Brittany.
At least,
with To Rome with Love, and I think he makes too many movies. He's got a lot of scripts sitting around in his desk, and what do you think? You just don't know. You just don't know.
You never know. I hope that Blue Jasmine is more like Midnight in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I hope.
Well, let's go to a buddy movie, one of those angry buddy movies, Two Guns. Denzel Washington and Danny Wahlberg.
Well, Ryan Reynolds. Or, I mean, Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg.
I was looking at
Wahlberg's
R.I.P.D.
They're everywhere.
Really good too.
Danny, Donnie, Mark, Matt.
Tony, do you want to take that one, Two Guns?
Yeah, well, see, I mean, both these guys are really good. I mean, and it's basically it's not a real simple film. I mean, what I've seen about it is these guys are both military and intelligence operatives, and it's kind of a buddy film, but they have to struggle at it.
They really have to struggle at it.
And I mean, frankly, Denzel Washington, I mean, both these guys are really good. I think it's going to be very interesting to watch. And I don't think it's really not a as big of an action film. I think there's a combination of the action and the drama in this film.
I look at two leading men looking, you know, elbowing each other out of the camera.
Yep.
That's what I see. Elysium has a wonderful title.
I think this one sounds good, doesn't it, Brittany?
My sci-fi friends are really looking forward to this one, and it's Matt Damon, and isn't it Jodie Foster?
Well, it's done by the guy who did District 9. And it's a continuation of the – and there's a lot of social – it's kind of like back to the 70s-style science fiction film where there's a lot of social commentary mixed into this. It's almost – I mean, in a way, you've seen it all before. It goes back to Metropolis, the idea that the privileged are living in this beautiful spot and everyone else is not. And so Matt Damon is playing this character infiltrating this to try to bring them down. It's gorgeous to look at, just the stuff I've seen, and it'd be interesting to see.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
I am too.
Ain't Them Bodies Saints. That's an intriguing title. I don't know anything about it, Matt.
Brittany's looking forward to this, so am I. You wanna talk about this one?
Something interesting that I just realized is the director of this, it's his first feature film, David Lowery, and he had one of our really popular narrative shorts at the Fargo Film Fest a couple of years ago called Pioneer. And that was lovely. The clips for this also look beautifully filmed, and it's got a hot actress, Rooney Mara.
She's very hot right now. Yes.
And Casey Affleck and Ben Foster.
I like Ben Foster a lot. He was terrific in The Messenger.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let me turn this around and let me just ask you individually which movie you're looking forward to the most. Tony, which movie? I know you like the blockbusters.
I do. You know, I'm interested in seeing the Superman film because I want to see how they've rebooted it, everything I've heard about it. It'd be interesting to see if some character that's been around since 1938 that's been done more than any other character. I mean, when you talk about movie serials to films to television over and over again, other great, huge movies, it'd be very interesting to see how they change this around. But there's that one, I kind of know what to expect. It's ones like a film like Only God Forgives that you really don't know anything about. That's also going to be very interesting to watch.
Yep.
Brittany, what are you picking to watch?
Well, actually, I was going to say Only God Forgives just because of the director, and I want to see Kristen Thomas, you know, in some action. I think it'll be great.
I want to mention, too, August 9th, Doug, for people who want to see Lovelace with Amanda Seyfried as Linda Lovelace. That's kind of a low-budget one. But
Linda Lovelace.
Right. It's this interesting story of her her unfortunate entrance into the pornography world in the 1970s. So we'll see if Amanda Seyfried, coming off a very good performance in Les Mis, I might say, can continue her good work. I'm probably looking forward to, in a train wreck kind of way, Great Gatsby. Is it going to be a train wreck, or is he going to rewrite the book on how to make a classic novel? I just don't know what's going to happen. I think there's enough interest out there that people want to go see and find out, is it going to be a train wreck or is it going to be Moulin Rouge?
Well, Matt, I'm thinking it might be polarizing. It might be one of those films that you either love or you hate.
Oh, my younger brother, who's an English major too, like Brittany, he absolutely hates the idea of this revisionist soundtrack and everything else to it. He wants to see what the 20s accurately represented with the music somewhat. And so the thing is, I understand why he's doing this in the adaptation, but I think, like what you said, the fact that we're talking about it, it's going to be with the film that's probably going to engender a lot of discussion.
Okay, well, let's look at it from the other end of the telescope here. What do you believe individually is going to be the biggest bomb of the summer? The blockbuster that goes, oh.
World War Z, I think, is going to be down there.
Okay.
And Lone Ranger, I think they both have – I think they could both be a huge bomb. And Gatsby could be a big bomb, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think I'm going to make one prediction, Doug. I think Superman outgrosses Iron Man 3. That's
really?
That's my prediction. Is maybe a slight surprise, but I think that is going to happen. I think World War Z is going to be – the critics are going to ravage it. That's my prediction. Mm-hmm. I think the critics are going to go after Lone Ranger pretty hard. And I'll just say, even though I can't get a sense of Gatsby, I think it'll lean more toward the failure category according to critics. That's my guess.
Okay. What is your
– Brittany?
Well, I don't know if I can add anything except I just noticed that Grown Ups 2 is coming out. And, you know, I'm going to really line up to
see
that one.
Oh,
yeah, I'm so there. I wish Adam Sandler would do something like Punch Drunk Love again.
Right.
You know, I'm just kind of sick of him.
You know, who would have thought almost a generation ago that we'd be talking about Star Trek movies mm-hmm. that are like that if you put numbers on them, we'd be up near double digits now, wouldn't
we'd
we?
We'd be over double digits, yeah. actually, yeah.
So the whole idea of sequels.
Can I make one more shout-out, Doug?
Sure.
This is to our friend Carrie Arnson. She's looking forward to this. August 16th, Austin Land.
Oh, yeah.
And
Jane
Brittany,
Austen,
this is the film about people that go to a Jane Austen convention and dress up as Jane Austen character.
The Star Trek fans
August
have been
16th.
Doing it for
is
a long
it a documentary?
Time.
No, it's a narrative film. We got to go.
Whoa.
You got to go in
there.
Costume, though.
August 16th.
You got to wear a costume anyway.
Okay, we've been to the movies now with Matt O'Lean, and he'll be back next Friday with another review. Brittany Goodman, thank you for joining us today. And Tony Tilton, great to have you with us on Main Street. That's the movies. Next, Ashley Thornburg joins me for What's Happening.
Arts programming on Prairie Public is supported in part by the North Dakota Council on the Arts, a state agency developing, promoting, and supporting the arts in North Dakota.
Thursday is What's Happening Day on Main Street, and Ashley Thornburg is with me to go through a list of what we have come across as interesting opportunities for entertainment and fun.
In Grand Forks on Wednesday, May 8th, the Art and Democracy Film Series is presenting Frankenstein, the original one, the one with Boris Karloff. I thought we could build off this film thing we've got going on all day. This is a free movie and is followed up with a discussion, and that's Wednesday at 7 p.m. in Grand Forks at the Empire.
Well, this is a little self-serving, but you can watch the week's news get the treatment it deserves in the comfort of your neighborhood theater when the NPR News Quiz Show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me comes to Fargo and Bismarck for a special live performance. Peter Sagal and official judge and scorekeeper Carl Castle will lead the cinecast, which will be broadcast live from New York University. You can watch it if you're in Bismarck or Fargo or going that way. At 7 o'clock, it's at the Grand Theater in Bismarck, and at 7 o'clock, of course, at the Century 10 Theater in Fargo. So
that
there
show.
You go.
It's so wonderful. I love it. 9 to 5, the musical. This is going to be in Williston. This is the musical based on, of course, the movie that Dolly Parton was in. This is presented by Entertainment Inc. It's this weekend and next weekend. And showtimes are 7:30 on Fridays and Saturdays and 2:30 on Sunday.
Well, Conversations at Bismarck State College is Sunday. And Bismarck State College is pleased to present for the fifth year a series of conversations to enrich the community's understanding of common humanity. This features Clay Jenkinson and Bismarck State College President Larry C. Scogan. Questions from the audience are part of the conversation. It's free to the entire community. It's at 3 o'clock, May 5th. in the Bavendick Stateroom of the BSC National Energy Center of Excellence.
All right, this one is all weekend, and this is really for the gamers out there. CoreCon is a sci-fi, fantasy, horror, anime convention. I'm told it's the premier convention in the Fargo-Moorhead area, and this is happening at the Days Inn of Moorhead, May 3rd through 5th. There's going to be a panel discussion on ghost investigations, wow, the Ghost Finders of Fargo, a gaming session for all sorts of good games out there, including Festival of Blood, which sounds a little gory, probably is. It's $35 for an adult for the whole weekend, and except if at the door, it's $40. Kids 5 and under are free. Kids 5 to 12 are $10 for the whole weekend.
Looking for a fun-filled evening of farce? Played by actors portraying actors in a play about a play. The play is called Moon Over Buffalo. It's presented by the Greater Grand Forks Community Theater at the Fire Hall Theater. It's tonight and Friday night and Saturday and then next Thursday and Friday at 7:30 and Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock. They've got matinees. Tickets are $15 for adults, $12 for seniors, students, and military with ID. And it's Moon Over Buffalo at the Fire Hall Theater in Grand Forks.
Bald Hill Badlands Hike. This is happening in Valley City on Sunday the 5th. You can join the Cheyenne River Valley chapter of the North Country Trails Association for at Lake Ashtabula West, and they will be there at 10 a.m. to go on the Bald Hill Badlands Hike. If you want a carpool, you can meet at the Rosebud Visitor Center at 9:15. It should be, they say, about a 2.5-hour hike. It's about 5 miles long, easy to moderate. And then lunch at your own will be at the Ashtabula Crossing following the hike.
Cellist Ivan Luza in recital. This is presented by the Minot State University Division of Music at the Ann Nicole Nelson Hall. That's tomorrow at 7:30. And this Venezuelan native, Ivan Luza, has his first orchestral debut as a soloist. He had it at 15, so he's obviously pretty darn good. Free, no ticket needed for this 7:30 concert tomorrow evening at Ann Nicole Nelson Hall in Minot State University campus.
I got a free concert at NDSU, and this one's on Saturday at 7:30, and this is the American Spiritual Ensemble. The fairly newly accredited NDSU School of Music is welcoming this critically acclaimed professional group. These are all classically trained singers. They are, of course, professionals, but they will be singing with a number of NDSU groups and regional acts like the Fargo-Moorhead Chamber Chorale and the West Fargo and Detroit Lakes High School Choirs, and this is free on Saturday at 7:30 at Festival Concert Hall. Doors open at 7.
Have we mentioned the Bismarck Art and Galleries Association for Art's Sake Flea Market?
I don't think so.
Well, that's coming up on Saturday from 8 in the morning until 5 at 422 East Front Avenue in Bismarck. That's the Bismarck Art and Galleries Association Flea Market. You can exchange art. You can buy art from 8 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon at 422 East Front Avenue. Okay.
All right. I am ready to do my event of the week here, and this is on Saturday, Extreme North Dakota Family Adventure Race. Doesn't that just sound so much fun?
It does sound, yeah.
This is, of course, an adventure racing course. Racers are encouraged, or actually required, to navigate a number of checkpoints using a map and a compass, anywhere from 10 to 20 checkpoints. You are supposed to prepare to get muddy and maybe a little wet. This is at Turtle River State Park, which is about 20 miles west of Grand Forks, Saturday from 1 to 3. And there's going to be, it's supposed to be just a great adventure and lots of refreshments for all the kids who take part.
Well, this caught my eye on the front page of the variety section of the Forum of Fargo-Moorhead today. Kite Day is Saturday at Ed Clapp Park. That's in South Fargo. So you can go fly a kite, obviously. It's a celebration of the pastime with all shapes and sizes of floating fabric. And there will be an opportunity to judge your flying skills with prizes awarded. The fun at Ed Clapp Park in South Fargo goes from 12:30 to 3 o'clock. That's Kite Day, Saturday in South Fargo. And that's what's happening. The Coded Hate Book is next.
This is Dakota Datebook for May 2nd.
In May of 1883, Eric and Olene Ramstead set out from Grafton in Dakota Territory to become the first settlers of present-day Minot. 3 years later, Eric Ramstead's land sale to the railroad companies would set into motion the creation of the city of Minot. Ramstead would profit handsomely from these sales, and he would become not only a bank and lumber company president, but one of Minot's most celebrated forefathers. Eric Ramstead did not begin life with expectations for such success on the Dakota frontier. He was born in Sigdal, Norway, to the family of a poor landless farmer. Eric's father, Ryer Peterson, had the infamous reputation of being both the town brawler and the town drunkard. Due to his father's poor reputation, Eric forsook the family name of Ryer for that of his employer, Stenar N. Ramstead. Seeking to further distance himself from family connections and for a chance at inexpensive land, Eric Ramstead immigrated first to a large Scandinavian community in southern Minnesota in 1880. He was too late to claim the cheap land of a frontier community in Minnesota, so he spent 2 years earning money, felling trees, and wrestling men for money. The money Eric Ramstead earned forcing trees and men to the ground was not enough to start a farm in Minnesota. It was, however, enough to start one in Dakota Territory. Hearing of the inexpensive land on the Dakota frontier, Ramstead moved to Grafton, Dakota Territory, in 1882. At year's end, Eric Ramstead was unable to find any land that suited him. However, he did manage to find a wife, Ingeborg Olene Golson, and by the beginning of 1883, they were wed. In May of 1883, the Ramsteads packed up their belongings into a single covered wagon and made their way 200 miles west to the Mouse River Valley. After a month of traveling, Mr. Ramstead and his wife found a quiet wooded valley, and they began to build their home. 3 years later, Ramstead agreed to sell sections of his homestead to James Hills Railroad Company that was building through the area. The railroad company founded the present-day city, Minot, on the 40 acres of land that it originally had bought from Eric Ramstead for $1,000. In later years, Ramstead continued to sell and give away acres of land. Today, elementary schools, cemeteries, churches, and Minot State University are all located on land originally donated by Eric Ramstead, a man who left Grafton this month in 1883, a poor Norwegian immigrant, and became one of Minot's most celebrated forefathers. Today's Dakota Datebook was written by Lane Sunwall. I'm Merrill Pepcorn.
Dakota Datebook is produced in cooperation with the State Historical Society of North Dakota, with funding from the North Dakota Humanities Council.
Friday is the 3rd of May. It's also the day the North Dakota legislature is supposed to adjourn. It's 80 days of the session, and the session is allowed to go 80 days. We'll see how well they do. There's still some big decisions to make. So far, it's $1 billion here. That is at the oil patch infrastructure needs, and $1 billion plus there for health and human services. We'll find out about other issues as well. And we'll talk about all of this with our editor's roundtable, Prairie Public News Director Dave Thompson, and our special guests, Mike Jacobs, the publisher of the Grand Forks Herald, and Tom Gerhart, news director at KXMB-TV in Bismarck. So join us on Main Street tomorrow for our editor's roundtable. And in the meantime, it's May. It's going to get warmer. Have a great evening.